Thank you. Okay, just quickly, just feel we've got a bit of a loose theme around kind of, it's all about you, Jesus, so things that point to Jesus. I've chosen Moses, and just some quick, so everything points to Jesus. The Bible, the Old Testament is, people say it foreshadows, it kind of points, there are hints of Jesus, there are clues about Jesus, there are always clues about God wanting to save his people right the way through the Bible. And just by kind of thinking about that explicitly, about how God's put pointers around that point towards Jesus everywhere, can be a helpful kind of way of looking at stuff. So just quickly want to think about Moses leading the Israelites out, but then just want to zoom in particularly on kind of what God's been talking about this morning. So just quickly do this bit, first bit. So the Israelites are living under slavery, in slavery under Pharaoh, who's a mighty ruler on the earth at that time. And they've been living under that slavery there for some time. That is their lot. And God calls one man, Moses, to go and rescue them and to go and declare freedom for them. Moses asks God, who shall I say you are, so that the Israelites will know that you've sent me? And God's reply is, just say, I am. I am has sent me. Eventually, as we know, after loads of miracles, disasters from from the Egyptians' point of view, the Pharaoh says, okay, you can go, get out of here. And so the Israelites, led by Moses, start to leave Egypt. And then Pharaoh changes his mind and sends the army after the Israelites. So they find themselves at the edge of the Red Sea with Pharaoh's army coming up behind them, and they're stuck. They're at a dead end. And death seems to be imminent. But God has given Moses a rod, a staff, his shepherd's staff, and he touches the Red Sea, and the sea parts, and a narrow path opens up for them to cross from Egypt into what's on their journey towards the Promised Land, and they escape, and the sea closes in behind, killing the Egyptians. And as they spend their time on that journey to the Promised Land, God provides for them every day direct from heaven. He provides all that they need. And God takes Moses back to Sinai, and I'll come back to that in a minute. And from Sinai, issues teaching for his people, guidance about how to live. But as Moses comes back down with all that teaching, he finds that they've built an altar to a golden calf. And God says, that's it, had it, going to wipe you out. And Moses goes to God and says, forgive them. And if you can't forgive them, can I stand in their place? Can you kill me? Blot me out? And God doesn't do that. He does have mercy. He doesn't take Moses' life instead of the Israelites. He has mercy. But Moses offered that. So even just in those snippets, you can see loads of parallels, loads of clues, loads of kind of tasters of what Jesus does. We're in our own lives without God, living in slavery to the kingdom of the ruler of this earth, because of our own sin and because of the limited power that the enemy has on the earth at the moment. We're in slavery. We're stuck. But God has sent Jesus to be our saviour, to be our rescuer. And when some of the Israelites asked Jesus, who are you? Then in John 8, Jesus says, I am. I am. And, of course, Jesus said, not only did he provide, but actually he said, as we sang, I am the bread of life. I am the living water. He is our provision, as we've been hearing about, reminded about again today. And, of course, Jesus did stand between us and our sin and the guilt which is ours, and God did the Father did put all of the sin, our sin, on Jesus' shoulders, and Jesus did die for us so that we could be free. So the Old Testament has loads of foreshadows, loads of hints of, loads of versions of, in the physical, of what Jesus has done for us in the spiritual. But I kind of want to major on, I think, what God's been talking about this morning, really. So in the beginning of Exodus, God shows up to Moses. So Moses had an amazing start in life. His life was under threat. He got put in a basket, found by a princess in Pharaoh's court, gets raised as a prince. Amazing kind of provision by God. And Moses has his heart for his people, for the Israelites. But he takes it into his own hands, gets really cross, angry, and kills an Egyptian. And so he has to run away. And he spent years and years and years, in effect, running away from his calling. And his lot is that he's a shepherd, but not even for his own sheep, for his father-in-law's sheep. So he's just a shepherd hand looking after somebody else's sheep. So his life has come to a pretty kind of, maybe not particularly purposeful place. That's kind of where he's at. And God shows up in the burning bush and says, I want you to go back to Pharaoh and to tell him to let my people go. And it's a great, if you have time, read Exodus 3 and 4, because it's really encouraging in terms of the number of excuses that Moses comes up with about why he can't keep his eye above the waves, why the waves are stronger than his. And it's just excuse after excuse after excuse. And it's worth reading because it makes uncomfortable reading for us. Because in truth, at times I come up with these excuses. And God is not impressed by those excuses. And so they go through this debate. And there's a great line in Exodus 3, 11. It says, but who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Moses asked God. How can you expect me to lead Israelites out of Egypt? Then God told him, I will be with you. Which is what we've just sung about, and various people, Joe, others, Ella, have testified to today. God's promise is, I will be with you. Still not enough for Moses at that moment. So the debate carries on, ping pong match carries on between him and God. And in the beginning of chapter 4, it says this, verse 1, but Moses protested again. Look, they won't believe me. They won't do what I tell them. They'll just say, the Lord never appeared to you. Then the Lord asked him, what do you have there in your hand? A shepherd's staff, Moses replied. Throw it down to the ground, the Lord told him. So Moses threw it down and it became a snake. Moses was terrified, so he turned and ran away. Then the Lord said to him, take hold of its tail. You don't get hold of a snake's tail. So Moses reached out, grabbed it, and it became a shepherd's staff again. Perform this sign, and they will believe you, the Lord told him, etc., etc. And the bit that really struck me when I was reading this was that staff represented Moses' crummy life. That's what it represented him. Here he was, what have you got? Well, what I've got is, I'm a shepherd hand for somebody else's sheep. That's kind of the sum of who I am. That's all I've got. And God says, okay, just offer that over to me then. Give that over to me. And in doing that, God performs a miracle. And just shows to Moses, look, it's not about you being brave enough. It's not about you having enough words, being able to be a good orator. It's not about you. It's about me. And it's about you just being available to me. That's all it's about. The Old Testament is in the physical, as I say, what for us is often in the spiritual. So Pharaoh represents, as I said, the ruler of this world. And people who are under slavery to the kingdom of this earth. God sends Moses to represent I am, to represent the Almighty God. And in offering himself, is empowered by God to do amazing things. and what God's been saying to us through that song and through that picture and through the testimony this morning is that all he asks us to do, but it is a big all, is for us to say, this is what I've got, and I hand that to you. And then God can start moving and can start performing his miracles. I love the detail of what God does. And, you know, Ben was sharing testimony. The testimony this morning is of the specifics of our lives. And God has this double track going on, like I say, of our own rescue, of our own story, but that connecting to that bigger plan that he has for his world. And each of us has that. He calls us to play our part. We're not all called to have the kind of scale of role that Moses had, but to have our part in the rescue of this world. So the bit I love about the detail is the burning bush. So he's just met Moses about his not particularly exciting lot of shepherding somebody else's sheep. And where is he doing that? On the side of Mount Sinai. And that's where God shows up and says, you're going back to Egypt. And then I'm going to bring you and the Israelites back to this place. And I love that. You know, Mount Sinai at that moment of the burning bush represented a not particularly kind of impressive bit of Moses' life. Maybe represents a cul-de-sac that he'd been in for decades. But under God's transforming power, Mount Sinai represents where Moses meets God's and God downloads his guidance for how to live for all people, for us even. Immensely powerful encounter in the place where he'd blown it, you know, where life was pointless and meaningless. So God does that for us, as Ben was testifying for the repair and restoration in his own life and family. God and why stuff like encounter is important for us, because we need to be repaired, rescued. And God often does take us back to take us forward to be able to be who he's called us to be. So I believe the question of today is that question about stepping out of the boat, to use that picture, about being available to God, or as I put it in my notes, about what have you got in your hand? What have you got? Jockey Bad had some straw, made a basket, put a baby in it. Baby was Moses. And because that basket was made and Moses was in the basket and found, then Israel was set free. Hannah had a son. What did she have? She offered what she had, she offered to God. Her son became an immense prophet, Samuel, in God's kingdom. There was a boy around by Jesus who had some fish and some loaves, a packed lunch, and handed it over. God fed thousands. There was a widow who had one meal left for her and her son, and she handed it over, and it fed her, her son, and a prophet throughout a whole famine. Whatever we've got might not seem very much. It may seem that we've been in a cul-de-sac. It might seem like we're not particularly very special. We're not very good at stuff. But if we hand it over, then God can do the rest. And God can use that to release captives, to bring sight to the blind, to bring freedom for the oppressed, and can use us to declare the Lord's favour. So I believe as we move into communion, God would just ask you and ask me, what have you got in your hands this morning? Who are you this morning? And will we offer ourselves to him?